This is Bhajan Rahasyam, as continuation, November 1st, the Shastiyam Sadhana, discussing of the practice of devotion at the level of bhava. Jata Rati Sadak, the devotee at the level of bhava, what are his practices, what are his experiences? This is the flow of the discussion now in Bhajan Rahasyam. It's going on to Bhav and then to Prema Bhakti. 6th, 7th, and 8th verses of Shikshastakam. Nayanam gadar dashardarya varanam gadgara vriyagira pulakar nichitam vapulkada tavanama grahane bhavishati. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying on two levels here. One level he's experiencing the initial sentence of Bhava Bhakti. Tears welling in the eyes, his voice choking up. And trembling, hair standing on end, voice choking, tears. These come in the very early stages of Bhava Bhakti. And so that's the Bhava Bhakti, one who has awakened his Bhav, he will chant the holy name, and he will experience different symptoms when he reads Krishna's pastimes or meditates on Krishna's Leela or sees his form, meditates on his form. But at the same time, all these discussions, there is something to be derived for the Ajata Rati Sadaka. That Sadaka or practitioner has not yet come to the level of Bhav. Bhav has not been born. So in this chapter 6, which is called Sadhana, or Shastiyam, which means this bhajan at the sixth period of the day, what we're discussing is different verses, how to develop Bhava Bhakti. How does the Ajata Rati Sadaka, one who is not the level above, how does he come to the level above? So that, of course, is the fruit of pure practice of Raghunuga Sadhana. Vaidhi Sadhana leads to Raghunuga Sadhana, and Raghunuga Sadhana leads to Bhav, and then quickly to Prema. So we are hearing some of these discussions. And today we're going to hear some more about this. This is verse 12. This is from the Uddhava Gita, 11th Canto Bhagavatam, chapter 3, verse 30 and 31. This particular verse 12 of Bhajan Rahasyam, chapter 6, describes that the value and importance of association with advanced devotees. This is so important to actually help one develop his bhav, association. Generally, especially in this age, Prabhupada came and all the stalwart Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas following in his line and following him. They came to free the Western people and the westernized Indian people also from the clutches of impersonalism, especially now so much Buddhism everywhere. People are basically impersonal. People are isolate. People are very much into the principle of isolationism. People want to live alone. People, leave me alone. I want to live alone. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Don't bug me. I just need my cell phone, my internet connection, and my laptop, and a bag of nuts and some juice, and that's all I need to live on. I can't get along with anybody. I can't relate. The family unit is breaking down everywhere, already broken down. No, there's no more joint families in India, practically. Everything's disintegrating into the void. Harmony is disintegrating into the void, and personalism is being replaced by impersonalism. So the tendency, especially nowadays, is that people rather shun association, and they end up finding fault with other devotees because of our inbred negative tendencies. Kali Yuga fills us with negative tendencies and negative viewpoints because of the debilitating effect of Kali Yuga. There's weakness everywhere. The food gives no strength. The air gives no strength. The water gives no strength. The earth gives no strength. And the people around us don't give any strength either. So there's weakness everywhere. Manda samanda mateyo. So people, they don't have faith in other people. They don't have faith in themselves. They don't have faith in the environment. And lastly, they don't have any faith in politicians. So therefore, people want to be alone. If they have any faith, they have faith in themselves. Even that's questionable. That's not very solid faith. So therefore, people want to get books. They want to collect lots of books. They want to go on internet and read e-books, and they want to get lectures from the internet, and they don't want to bother, or they don't want to make the endeavor to go and hear directly from devotees or associate with devotees. So this is a great misfortune, because there's something special that happens in the living presence of the devotees, and that speciality is that Krishna comes there. So, but everywhere, nectar instruction, everywhere it says brajatishtan anuragi anugami, one should live in Braj in a close association with a devotee. And this is, perfection is always something that's been personally passed down from guru to disciple. We haven't heard too much. Nowadays they're trying to package perfection, make perfection or perfection and devotion a kind of a virtual reality experience on your computer. And you simply get a program and I got some gloves and a helmet. And then you can have virtual reality, enter the spirit. You have Leela Pravesh on your computer and enter into your Siddhartha and go back home flying on your computer. But this is highly unlikely that such perfection will be attained by this gadgetry and techno bhajan. Techno bhajan is no bhajan. You know, the old standard ways are quite effective, because bhakti is an amsha of Radharani. Radharani is very much alive. She's not a software or hardware. She's premware. She's full of prem, and so that's why, fortunately, even today there are great devotees walking the planet, and it's not very difficult to find them. And it's emphasized over and over again to associate with devotees. So this verse, this describes the practice of chanting the holy name at the stage of Rati or Bhav in the association of pure devotees. And this is 11:3:30-31. It says, Parasparanu kantanam pavanam bhagavad nyashaha mitto ratir mitas tushtir nivritir mitta atmanaha smaranta smarayantascha mitto ghogha haram harim bhaktya sanja taya bhaktya vibratyut pulakam tanum. Bhagavan's glories are supremely purifying. Devotees discuss these glories amongst themselves and develop loving friendships. They feel satisfaction and they gain release from material existence. Thus they practice sadhana bhakti, constantly remembering and reminding each other of Aghari, Srihari. In this way, parabhakti or prema bhakti rises in their hearts, and their bodies manifest ecstatic symptoms such as bodily hair standing on end. So this is what happens, that there's, that when we hear in association with devotees that the love is a living principle, and this principle of bhakti is the most living principle. So it comes alive, Tushyanti cha ramanti cha, in the Harikata, Harikatamritam. The Harikata is Amrit. Amrit is something that gives life. Amrit. Mriti means death. Amrit means no death. Tavakatamritam tata jivanam. Harikatamritam. That is Hari. Hari is the supreme living principle, personality. So when devotees come together and discuss him and hear about him, and of course his consort Radharani, then the Amrit begins to flow. The living principle begins to enter the ear and bring the heart to life. Jeev jago, jeev jago. The jeev wakes up. The dormant, the capacity to love Krishna expands. Because there's you can say a minute capacity in every jiva to love Krishna, the ananda shakti. It's not a ladini, it's called ananda, such an ananda. This is just the general joy principle that's within the jiva, anand. But when one associates with advanced devotees are actually being sprinkled with a higher vibration. They're being sprinkled with the Sarup Shakti of the Lord coming as pure bhakti. Pure bhakti is Samvit and Ladini. And Samvit, Ladini Shakti is of a different order than Ladini, Ananda. So the Ananda Shakti within the Jiva, which is so minute, when it contacts the Ladini Shakti, then it expands into the potential to love God. It gives the ability to love God. So when devotees speak Harikata, Harikatamritam, this Amrit, this nectar is in their hearts, and it comes through their words and enters our hearts. Then our hearts come alive. And this is the whole idea. That another nice point I heard once when someone said, well, I just read books. I read all these rustic books and commentaries of Vishwanath and others, and I get the same effect. And then it was Bhakti Rakshak Sridhardeva Goswami said, you can do, but the books won't speak to you. The books are speaking, but to everyone. They won't speak to you directly, nor will the books correct you. They'll be there. They're passive. The books are passive contributors, passive guardians, or passive well-wishers. But the Vaishnava, he's active. The rustic Vaishnava, the advanced devotee, he's proactive. He interacts with you, and he reads and says, do you understand this? When you read the book doesn't come out, some little guy doesn't come out of the book and say, do you understand what you're reading? Do you perceive this? And you just keep reading. So it's so much important, it's emphasized here. This is what Krishna is telling to Uddhava also. The glories of Krishna are purifying, and devotees discuss these glories amongst themselves. Just explain, because we're talking about this whole principle of bhakti, and how bhakti comes from bhakti. That everyone has heard a million times. But Krishna removes any problem from devotees so they can quickly come to him. And this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is another point that just came to mind. He said, when one is going on Nam Sankirtan, going out for Sankirtan, chanting whatever, temple or streets, it's all right, any number of new devotees or neophytes can join the Sankirtan party, or even general masses can pull in along. But in that party, there must be one pure devotee, at least one Bhava Bhakta. One Bhava Bhakta, because at Bhava, one's chanting Shudanam. And when this Shudanam will kind of upgrade all the other Nam, it will actually purify the whole Sangha. It's just like one sandalwood tree in a forest. If there's one sandalwood tree in a forest, the whole very large area surrounding that one tree, genuine sandalwood tree, will pick up the aroma and scent of sandalwood. And that's actually what most of us, whenever we buy sandalwood, that's what we're actually buying. We're buying satellite trees of the mother tree. They don't cut the mother tree down, but they cut the neighboring trees. So in the Sankirtan party, he says it should be like this. Otherwise, it's not much power, not much value. That one pure devotee should be there. So the same thing, if there's a Sangha, in Sangha of devotees, if there's at least one pure devotee or one devotee at the level of Bhava, which is basically the same thing, then if everyone's hearing and chanting together with him, then they will actually experience something of that person, he or she, their own level, their own bhava that's in their heart, will come inside their words. Because everyone knows the principle that we have fingerprints, we also have voice print. But in voice print, or the voice print means the individual voice or vocal identity of an individual. But not only that, not only is there the individual tone and dialect and way of speaking of a particular person, but there's his bhav, his feelings. And there's so many different ways to say the same thing. Like we say, can you please go now? Or you say, get out of here! Get the hell out of here! I mean, you're conveying the same point, but there's obviously different way, there's different bhav and different expressions. Just go now! Or you say, can you go now? Same phrase, can you go now? Just go now. So, and you can feel. So we are sensitive beings. The human being is a sensitive being. So the devotee has devotional sensors. Any devotee has devotional sensors. So when we hear Harikata with an advanced devotee, it's like a radiation. It's a magnetism, a radiation, that it penetrates our hearts. Our devotional hearts become moved. They become impenetrated by that pure vibration. So this is a great benefit. Everyone knows there's so many great devotees, especially right now in Brajmandal, all around the area. There's so many very, very advanced devotees, and if you have the opportunity to hear from them, then you feel so much cleansed. As I said the other day, you feel enlightened, satisfied, and encouraged. These three things happen when you hear Harikatha from an advanced devotee. You feel enlightened, encouraged, and in our own practices of devotion, to go forward, to surrender, to try more, to continue, and satisfied. And that's what Krishna is telling here to Uddhava. Mito ratir mitas tushtir. Nivritir mita atmana. The tushti, that we feel great satisfaction. So in the heart of advanced devotees, their pure feelings for the Lord, they get transmitted to the listener. If we're actually listening with submission. So this is some note I had from this point, this verse. And you see, this is the surrender is the way one enters one's heart. This is a principle even in material relationships. If you surrender to someone, you enter their heart. Isn't it? If people are married, two people are married, and one is in a very surrendered mood towards the other, by that surrender, they enter the heart of their beloved. So this is a whole principle between Guru and Shishya. That's it's the first principle, it's the second principle, it's all the principles. Guru Pada Shraya. Ashraya, taking shelter and surrendering, Sharanagati. So Guru, taking shelter of Guru and surrendering to Guru, serving him with faith and devotion, taking shiksha from him and diksha. These are the beginning principles of bhakti. So when one is surrendered to the Guru, then the Guru feels that when he's actually surrendered. And that's evidenced or proven by the service rendered by the attitude, by the quantum and quality of service the disciple renders for the Guru's pleasure. So then the secret treasures of the Guru's heart, they're given, they're distributed to the surrendered listener. This is what the note is telling here. So then for that person, for some people when they come and they hear Harikatha, for them the speaker is just a theoretical speaker. He says, okay, I have my guru, I'm surrendered at a particular guru, I go here and I hear this class. Maybe I'll hear something. So it's okay, I heard some good points, it's nice. But I collected something. It's like I collected honey but not bee pollen. It's like in the bees, they make honey, and there's also bee pollen. It's like the more concentrated essence of their collection. It's sort of what do they call it? I guess it's called bee pollen. So the ordinary hearer, that it's not actually surrendered to the guru, then he collects something. It's like theoretical. But one who's actually fully surrendered, when he sits in the Harikatha with his guru or any advanced devotee, if he's surrendered there, then he gets shelter in the heart of that devotee, and he collects some of the Shuddha Bhav, or the pure vibration or pure feelings of love within that devotee's heart. He collects some. They're distributed to him. So this is the access to the heart of the speaker, is by the attitude of surrender of the listener. This is what I was mentioned here. So that the disciple's heart is one with Sri Guru, then he's seeing what the Guru is speaking. It will come in his heart. So what the Guru is seeing in his heart will come in the heart of his surrendered disciple. And there's many instances of this. I remember once when one devotee, this is another, not a case of hearing Harikatha, but a case of japa. One devotee is chanting japa, and in their meditation, they were chanting japa. This one lady we knew in Vrindavan, and she was meditating on her guru, and in her meditation, she was meditating Astakali Lila while chanting japa. It was in the morning. And she was meditating, she was in Barsana, Radharani's in Barsana this time, particular time of the year, and she was, this person was seeing herself in this Lila, doing service, and seeing her guru there, rendering particular service, and she was assisting him. That was in her meditation. And later she went and met her guru. And she said, Guruji, I was chanting my japa this morning about 6:30, and I was meditating on this Pratak Lila in Barsana. And I saw you like this. And then he smiled and said, yes, I was there. I was doing like that. He said, yes, I was doing like that. So she was tadatmika with guru. She was like one so much. He was in another place. He was in Mathura. She was in Vrindavan. And so this was this is the, so much surrender is there that because this is what Shastras say. They say at the beginning of every day, at the beginning of every hour, beginning of every minute, and every second, we should remember Guru. Guru Smaran. And so this is, was an example that, okay, now I'm going to chant mala, and I have some ruchi for this lila, and I have some attraction, and maybe some adhikar to meditate here. So I'm meditating, and I'm seeing my Guru there, and Siddhadeva. And this service is coming in my mind. So this is one level. This is a very high level of connection with a guru, very high level of surrender, where one is so much one with the heart of the guru that even the heart of the guru's meditation, you become part of that. Even in this world, although it's quite a perverted reflection of it, sometimes there are twins, two boys, two ladies, whatever, two men. And they're twins, and one twin is in India, and the other twin is in London. And it's in this particular time, he say in the morning, the one twin thinks, "Oh, I think my brother's sick. He feels some sickness coming inside. He feels some cold, or he feels I'm getting sick. I don't know why. I shouldn't be sick. I feel okay. I think maybe my brother's sick." So he calls on the phone after not speaking to his brother, his twin brother, for 2 months. Brother says, "Yes, I just got sick this morning." There's this connection, even a material connection, due to karmic links and whatnot. So this is hearing. That hearing can be so profound that this is the speciality of hearing from the living guru, the living speaker, is that if one surrenders to that speaker and that speaker has some devotional standing, high standing and devotion, then the heart, you can enter the heart and collect something from that heart. So this is... I guess this goes on, this note. I'll just read this note also. It says, "Guru gives potency in the heart of the disciple. Then he watches how he uses that power." So that's Shakti. Every disciple gets power. If he uses it for enjoyment, that's told in the Madhurya Kadambini, Taranga Rangani. He gets some power, bhakti comes to him, then he gets some name, fame, influence, whatever, which is a type of power. Influence is a type of power. Then if he tries to enjoy that or take that for himself and not offer it to the guru, then that's the rangani, that's the enjoying, riding the waves, taranga rangani. So guru gives his power and the guru is watching. Well, is he going to use his power for me, for Krishna, or for himself? The true disciple will use all the power and potency he receives in the service of guru. If guru sees that, he becomes pleased. And he gives another drop of mercy. When the guru has full faith that the disciple is fully surrendered, then he will give everything. It's like a heart's connection. The guru wants to give everything to his disciple, but he will test and see. So this is the whole idea of sadhu sangha. Sadhus want to give. So this, the guru, he can test. He wants to see. So this is the whole question is asked, that in we come to Harikatha and we come to get something, and that's bhakti. So the Brajagopis, they were asking Uddhav, why Krishna left us if we have love for him when he came during the chapter 47. If someone loves you dearly, completely, how can you leave them? It's impossible. And the gopis are saying, our love must not be genuine. How could he leave? What did we do? This is a proof that our love is not genuine. If we have love for him, how could he leave? Just like the birds, if the tree is nice, they like to stay there. But then if all the leaves fall off, then the birds will fly away. So the student learns from his teacher, then he gets a diploma, then he never sees the teacher again. These are some analogies that they were using. Like a prostitute may show so much affection at the time of engagement, but then when the engagement's over, then no more affection. So material world, all love is with a cause, and when the cause is gone, the relationship is finished. But love without a cause, that's Srimati Radharani. That's causeless. There's no... As I heard the term that Sridhar Maharaj was explaining, that in Vrindavan, the relationships are based on love. right? The relationship. In other words, love is not based. He said, love is not based on the relationship. Relationship is based on love. A very interesting point, because if you look at any of the relationships in Vrindavan, there's no formal relationship. And this is what this, and then he went on to explain that in every relationship in Braj, there's this parakya mood. There's parakya mood in Yashoda Nanda, parakya in the Coward Boys, and parakya, the idea of parakya, belonging to another. So Krishna and Radha, for example, they're not married. This is, of course, is parakya bhav, everyone knows, paramour. So there's no guarantee. So there, it's not that, okay, we're married, we have this relationship, husband and wife, this is our sambandha relationship. So on the basis of this relationship, then our love will develop by service, by association, by intimacy, whatever. Then our love develops. So love develops. So, but in Braj, love is not based on relationship. Relationship is based on love. Krishna just loves Radharani for her sweetness, for her tenderness, for her beauty and her charm. And the same, Radharani loves Krishna. But there's no pact, there's no bondage. So, and they're thinking, sometimes I meet him, sometimes I don't. There's no guarantee he will be there in the Avisar or for the Milan. So this is the flow of love. It's free. It's independent. So the whole relationship is based on love. Right? Now you look at Mother Yashoda, Nanda. They're not the mother and father of Krishna, Vasudeva. So they're always thinking, and sometimes they're reminded when Bhaguri Rishi or Sandilya Muni or Garga Rishi come and speak all the different pranas and different things. And they have some vague understanding. And separation, when the beloveds of Krishna are separated from him, then they have some understanding of his transcendental identity in separation. Because the separation mood creates this kind of grandeur and his majesty and this kind of formal viewpoint. So then in separation, sometimes the gopis say, oh, I know, you killed Bali. In your previous incarnation, you were Ram, and he stood behind a tree, and you killed Bali. And I know you. In your previous incarnation, you're always cruel. You're so cruel to us. You've left us in the Rasa dance. That's your nature. You're cruel to women. I know. In your previous incarnation as Ram, you cut off Shapurnika's nose, and you killed a nice lady. In your youth, a nice lady came to you to offer her milk. Beautiful lady named Putana. She's like a beautiful demigoddess, and you killed her. This is your nature, to kill women, to destroy women. So, and this is in separation. So sometimes in separation, Yashoda and Nanda, they would think, oh, actually, he's our orphan. He's our adopted son. We're the foster mother and father. Anytime Vasudeva and Devaki, they can call him home and he'll go to Mathura. So they're always feeling that our son belongs to another. Parakya means belonging to another. He doesn't belong to us. And so we have to really love him, and we have to really fondle him, and really caress him, and really nourish him, and care for him more, 10 times more than his real mother and father. So he'll forget them, because we're only binding him by our love, not by the relationship. Like someone says, "Oh well, she's my mother. I guess I should love her." This is love based on relationship, not relationship based on love. Well, this is my mother and father, and. I guess I don't really, my father's not a very nice guy. My mother's kind of selfish. I don't really love them. Anyway, I should love them. So this is the formality of trying to love, or love based on relationship. But in Braj, there's no formality. So this is the same in Madhurya Bhav and Vatsali Bhav. Then you take Sakya Ras. Now Balaram will die for Krishna. He'll give up his life for Krishna. He'll do anything for Krishna. He's absorbed in Sevananda of Krishna. Just the bliss of serving Krishna in all ways from moment to moment. But he's not his brother. His mother is Rohini and Vasudeva, isn't it? He's not the brother. But so his love for Krishna like a brother is inseparable. So he loves Krishna like a brother, but he's not the brother. So his relationship of a brother is based on love. Not that, oh, he's my brother, I guess I should be nice to him. Just like I had my older brother. I used to think, well, he's my brother. I don't like him, though. I should be nice to him, but I don't. So I should love him. We have a relationship. So this is the one of the specialities of Braj Bhav, that it's all based on love. The love is actually the binding principle. So the gopis were telling, what is it? Our love must not be very genuine because he left us. Just like birds leave a tree or a prostitute leaves a man when he has no money. Students leave a teacher when they learn their lessons and never see him again. So the Brajagopis, they left everything to love Krishna without any cause. They only live for his happiness. So why has he left us? They were asking Uddhav. Of course, they explained. Of course, this is a little side point. The Brajagopis, they couldn't tolerate. What they couldn't tolerate is very interesting when you think about it. Because generally, when we think of separation, we're separated from someone we really love, then we feel pain. You know, where's my lover? I'm separated from my lover. I miss my lover. I'm separated from them. But the Gopis' thinking is so much different. Inconceivable how they're thinking, because the gopis were thinking they couldn't tolerate the pain that Krishna must be feeling in separation from them. This is like there's the objective viewpoint and the subjective viewpoint. So generally we're in the objective. Everything's our object. But the gopis viewpoint is just like you hear when the Govinda Lilamrita describes Radharani's dressing. When all the mandris and sakis dress Radharani in the morning, and then they hold a mirror in front of her, very much like we do in a temple. When we do the Shringar, and then sometimes they open the doors and do it also. In Los Angeles, they used to do that. At greeting the deities, they would open the doors at 7:15. Then the pujari would come out. Prabhupada would stand there and greet the deities. I was there, I remember. And then they would, right at that time, all this smoke is in the deity room, so much frankincense and big clouds of smoke. They would come out with a large mirror and show to Rukmini, Dwarkadish, Gornitai, show their forms they could see, and then everyone would see. So when Govinda Lilamrita explains that when the Sakis and Mandris, they dress Radharani so beautifully and perfectly for the pleasure of Krishna, and of course their happiness, satisfaction also, then they hold, one Mandri holds a mirror in front of Radharani, then she looks in the mirror, and unlike any of us, what we would think at that time, she thinks, Oh Saki, oh Lalita, oh Rupa. Look, I'm picture pretty, as they say. I'm picture pretty. I look so beautiful. Every strand of hair is perfectly positioned, and my cudgel and my lipstick and my makeup and my jewelry, everything is like perfect. Quickly take me to Nandagaon, let Krishna feast on this sight. This beauty, this perfection of beauty he should enjoy. Every minute of this, before a hair goes stray, or some wrinkle comes in my sari, or my chunari, or my lingra, quickly. So this is the idea. Immediately, you know, for his pleasure. So when the gopis were speaking to Uddhav and revealing their intense love, this is what most amazed him. They couldn't tolerate. Oh, how is Krishna carrying on in Mathura without us? Who's making his Vaijayanti garlands? Who's making his tambal? They can't make like us. Who can make like us? Even, of course, everywhere they make tambal. Tambal and paan is everywhere in India. Every city in Mathura, there's hundreds of people. But not like the gopis. Just like Ramanujacharya, when he came to Puri, in Jagannath Puri, he wanted to introduce very pukka pujaris from South India to do all the puja to a high standard, make all the chandan and camphor and all the things for Jagannath. Then Jagannath, he chucked out Ramanujacharya. This is told like this. And he went to sleep, and in the morning he woke up in Kuramakshetra. He got a free ride down to South India. And because what had happened, he imported some of these Brahmins, a few of them, 50 or 60 came from South India, and they started doing the Seva Puja for Jagannath. But Jagannath didn't like it. So he came in the dream of the king and in the head bajari. He said, what is this? I don't like the way they're making chandan. I don't like the way they're making the paan and tambal. I don't like the way they're making the pakoras. Bring back these pandas, these big fat, you know, pandas. I want my pandas back who speak all kinds of harsh words and they rebuke the Lord. And just like in Vrindavan, the Vrijvasis, they speak like unbelievable language. If you learn any language, you wish you never learned the language, because this is actually one of the, let's say, calling cards calling cards, of, you know, business card. You have your calling card. You give your business. Oh, what do you call this? Is the special? This is one of the vishesh gun, the special qualities. One of the specialities of Braj. This their heavy speech, and this is told. There's three coverings of Vrindavan, which keep out the materialist. One is salty water. One is bubble trees, thorny trees everywhere. And the other is the unbelievable speech of the Brijvasis. So any refined cultured person comes from anywhere in India, they say, oh, I'm going to Vrindavan, Dwadasavan, Trasi Coast, Prikama, everywhere so many beautiful Leelastalis and hillocks and rivers and lakes and pokoras and sarovars and kuns and there's beautiful mandirs. I heard so much about it. Then I get here. Hey, what is all this? A dusty desert. I can't find any Kadamba Kandi. I can't find this here, there, a few over in Kamivan side. And everywhere, there's no trees. I don't see any. Where are all these Kadamba trees and Plaksha trees and Nyagoda trees and Banyan trees and Tamal trees? I don't see any. Then people say, yes, this is the Rasastali. There used to be one Tamal tree here and one. There's one Tamal tree growing next to one Kadamba tree. Of course, they're not here anymore. But they used to be here. I mean, when I came in 77 at Rasastali in Puncheri, there was one tamal tree and one tamal tree and one kadamba tree in a vast, vast, big Rasmandal circle. And all the Brijvasis were saying these trees commemorate Radha Krishna Yuga and the place of their Ras Lila. Now you go, you can't find one tree. So there's all thorn trees everywhere. And then the speech of the people is unbelievable. Just in the common conversation, they're rebuking and chastising each other in Brijbasi. That's how the wives talk to their husbands. The mothers talk to their children. You ta 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 ta, and he just laughs. And says, "Okay, you this that," and it's like unbelievable. Nowhere in any village, anywhere in India, there's 500,000 villages in India. Nowhere anyone speaks the local language like they do in Vrindavan. And Krishna tells, in so many places, he says, the rebukes and the chastisements of the gopis, the elderly gopis and younger gopis, you know, the Rajavadu in Vrindavan, I relish these rebukes and chastisements and scoldings thousands of times more than the Vedic stutis and the stotrams of the Rig Veda and Samaveda, which are all perfect chandas and meter and rag and everything. I don't care. If some elderly gopi catches me stealing milk and she calls, you dirty this, that, nectar, music, you know, amrit. So this is a speciality. So the gopis and they're described, they have so much love. And that's why when the gopis is described in Bhagavatam, when they're running to meet Krishna, they're half dressed. Because they don't have time. Krishna's calling us. He's calling each individual gopi with the notes of his flute. And I don't have time. It takes so much time to dress the earring, this, that, kajal. So then they run because they know that Krishna can't wait. Krishna's extremely impatient. He's autocrat. And if he wants something, he wants it immediately. He doesn't like to wait. He's very impatient. So they think, they only have one earring. And then chapatis are burning on the fire and the taking care of their sister's kid or something, they drop them on the ground, they run out because they know that Krishna's suffering and they can't tolerate that Krishna's feeling separation for a minute. This is why they run out. Sri Krishna burns up heaps of sins in a moment. Therefore, everyone should remember him and remind others about him. In this way, continually following sadhana bhakti, prema bhakti arises in a devotee. Due to the predominance of prema, the devotee's body then displays ecstatic symptoms. A sadhaka's duty is to increase his affection for swajatiya bhaktas. Swajatiya. Swajati means like-minded devotees who are more advanced and affectionate towards oneself. This is a principle from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that the devotee we associate with should be sajati and snigda. He should have the same bhav and same mood, and he should also be affectionate. Should arrange for their happiness. It is also the duty to give up sense objects that are unfavorable to bhakti. The pure-hearted sujatiya bhaktas purify one's heart by glorifying Krishna's qualities. Thus, by cultivating devotion Through processes like hearing and speaking of Krishna Gata, bhava rises in the heart. By hearing, speaking, and remembering Hari Gata, which destroys all inauspiciousness, the sadhaka enters the perfected stage, siddha avashta. The special meaning of this verse, which is from Uddhava Gita, is that by the influence of associating with Braj Rasik Bhaktas, who have the same mood as oneself, Bhakti Devi enters the heart. Hearing such devotees' Hari Gata with a pure heart matures a new sadhaka's impressions of bhakti. This means bhakti sanskaras. So this it's a matter of developing. The whole principle of Shraddha going to Prem is developing. It grows, it develops, beginning with faith, which is instilled in the heart by the association of devotees. So hearing Hari Gata from advanced devotees actually increases the sanskara, the impression, the depth of the impression in our heart. And the result of that, this is what everyone finds practically. The result of hearing Hari Gata, at first it seems imperceptible. If you sit for 1 month or 7 days or whatever and hear Hari Gata from advanced devotees, something's happening. The latent or the inherent sanskaras for devotion in the heart that have been given, already given by Guru, Guru Krishna Prasade by Bhakti Lata Beach. This bhakti sanskara, it actually grows and thickens and condenses in the heart, and it translates, that sanskara as it develops, it translates into attachment, asakti. And asakti develops into bhav. That's what's being said here. So this whole transmission, this transmission of energy to enthuse and develop our bhakti samskaras occurs through the medium of Hari Gata, a sound vibration, anavriti shabdat. That this whole sound vibration is by which everything is shaped. Everything takes shape because around sound vibration. The whole material world takes shape. Everything takes shape in specific form due to the input of sound vibration. So the same thing with bhakti. Bhakti sanskaras, it takes shape. It takes shape due to the sound vibration which we imbibe. So the higher the vibration, the quicker our spiritual shape manifests. So this is the whole, what's being said here. In Prem Bhakti Chandragita, it says, Sarane bhavade bhaviba yaha siradeya bhavitaha. This is a famous section from one verse. Whatever one contemplates in sadhana, one will attain in perfection. It's paka apakwa matra avichar, sevichar. One is paka, one is apaka. One is ripe and one is unripe. By the mercy of bona fide guru, the sadhak realizes his perfected form, siddhasarup, and receives further instructions in the method of bhajan. When like-minded pure devotees speak only Krishna Gata, thus becoming overwhelmed by the description of Krishna's form, qualities, etc., at different Leela stalis like Tarakadamba. At Tarakadamba and other places, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana used to become submerged in ashtasattvic bhavas when sharing realizations from their bhajan. This is a very interesting point, because when the speaker himself, and I think if anyone's fortunate, they may be witness that at one time or another with advanced devotees. When one sits in the association with an advanced devotee and he speaks Hari Gata, especially if he's speaking Leela Gata, because there's so much rasa in Leela, especially the high Madhurya rasa, that he himself, being an advanced devotee of Bhava Bhakta, Rasik Vaishnava, rasa, he can taste rasa, and he begins to taste it when he's speaking the Hari Gata. And then as he's tasting, it's almost like someone's drinking something and they say, this is really good, try it. Of course, it's kind of moochy by Vedic standard, drink from the same cup. But and coward boys do it. They eat one rasgulla and they say, try it, it's very good. The intimacy is there. But he's tasting. That's why he's a rasika babuvaka. When he's speaking Hari Gata, he's not just speaking. He's speaking the leelas, and then you feel, especially when advanced devotee is speaking leelas, you can perceive that he's not only speaking, but he's there. He's seeing, he's feeling, he's experiencing. There's some rasa coming in him. And generally, at least in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they restrain their external displays of bhava. They don't generally break out into tears or choked voice because they don't want to be, let's say, create an offensive mentality in neophytes that may think they're sahajiyas or whatever. But nevertheless, still what's happening is the rasa is flowing through their veins, so to speak. The rasa is flowing through their hearts and they're experiencing it. Although they don't, you may not see it. You may not see it directly. Tears aren't shooting out of their eyes. Their hair is not standing on end. They're not trembling. Well, that happens also. And there are accounts of that with different devotees, like, of course, our Param Guru Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was talking about Radharani Tattva one time and he fell unconscious on the dais. The seniors talk about that. But that's very rare. But what does happen is when they speak Harikatha, they taste the ras. They're actually tasting the ras of that lila, that bhakti ras. And that taste is coming. They're tasting it and that's coming in their speech. And it's coming in their sound vibration. Those drops of bhakti ras are mixed in the sound vibration they're speaking. And that's what we're collecting with our ear holes. That's what we're collecting with our ears. Those drops of nectar, just like the chataka. The chataka keeps his head upward and looking for the rain cloud. Because he only takes rain, the chataki or the chataka. He only drinks water from the rain cloud. That rain is his life, his nourishment. His very life force is that water. So like the devotee's heart is like a chataka bird, like a chataki. And he's very thirsty. He's very thirsty for that life-giving ras, that katha ras, that lila ras. So when the advanced devotees speak, then these drops come in our chataki bird-like ears. And they give us life. They give life to our devotional heart, and they nourish and expand our bhakti samskaras, which results because there's samskara, and arising from samskara is vasana. Samskara is the impression, the tendency, and vasana means the desire. So as our bhakti samskaras become richer and deeper and more developed, then we express that by developing greater desires to serve Krishna in newer and newer ways. So this is the speciality that when they're describing, we've had the experience, and we would go away with other devotees and say, what do you think when so-and-so is speaking? It seems like when he was speaking, there was lilas about Radha and Krishna from Vilap Kusumanjali. It was much more than what's in the book, much more than what we saw. And really, really feels like he was there, and he was just kind of showing us what he was sharing his feelings and sharing his experiences with us through the medium of speech, through his Harikatha. Another devotee said, "Yes, there was a very extraordinary meeting we had, a very extraordinary class we had, and this is a great blessing for all of us that this Machitta Matkata Pranas Bodhayantas Parasparam." Such sanghas are going on, Vaishnava Raja Sabha, that we can go and get some drops of nectar. As we always say, devotees are looking for nectar. Like the chatiki bird is looking for cloud. Where is the cloud? He sees the cloud. Oh, there's a cloud there. Maybe I get nectar there. Rain may fall from that monsoon cloud. So go in that direction. So we hear there's advanced devotees. So we go there. We hear something. So this is one of the most crucial practices of developing bhav, is to hear from advanced devotees. And this is the principle that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling here in Shastriyam Sadhana. That not only is describing in this chapter about bhava and the experiences of the jata rati sadhakas, but he's also giving hints and suggestions for the ajata rati, those that aren't at bhav, how they can come quickly to that level. So in this text 12, he's describing about the emphasizing the need for hearing Harikatha from advanced devotees, not just sitting in our rooms reading advanced scriptures. The sadhaka should be careful, though, that on the pretext of speaking Bhagavad Gita, he does not gratify his senses with female association, economic gain, fame, adoration, and so forth. The sadhaka should be extremely cautious in the cultivation of his Krishna consciousness, Krishna Anushilam, otherwise he will deviate from the correct path and be cheated by the wealth, cheated of the wealth of Sriman Mahaprabhu's prema. So this is, of course, a warning. And as I mentioned, Taranga Rangani, that the power, Guru gives the power. We say, Mukam Kroti Vachalam Pangam Langa Itegaram. We say the Guru gives the power to speak. But if we become intoxicated by that power, and then we go down. The enjoying spirit takes us down, and the service attitude elevates us. So we're servants of Harikatha. We're not enjoyers of Harikatha. I mean, the Bhava Bhaktas, of course, they relish. But the Pracharaks that are humbly serving the order of the Guru, if they enjoy the waves that come, the Tarangani means the waves. Taranga Rangani means enjoying the waves that come along, because a Pracharak becomes usually famous. He gets some following, and people, they follow him, or they, you know, he gets a following, gets prestige, and maybe ladies come or whatever for a sannyasi. And if he tries to enjoy them or take service from them, and then, of course, this is the enjoying spirit, and this will cancel his ability to be transparent in his representation. So this is a warning in this purport. In the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, he's talking about Gajendra Moksha. We read that story last Ekadasi. We went through that story, and he says sometimes Gajendra was not strong in the land, in the water, because he was a land creature, an elephant. And the crocodile drug him in the river. And he went, and the crocodile was getting stronger, chomping on the elephant's leg. And he was in a water element, and the elephant was getting weaker and weaker. And in the purport, he said, sometimes our sannyasis have difficulty. So if they find difficulty in their position, then they should change their position, take up grihastha life, and live an honest life of grihastha, and go on with the mission of Krishna consciousness and preach. But in any case, we always take all instructions to apply to us. And so we should be very careful that we are servants of the holy name, we are servants of the Vaishnavas, and we are servants of Harikatha. And if anything, we're not to enjoy the result. So this was kind of a downside. The purport is encouraging us to associate with devotees and to speak and hear Harikatha, especially from advanced devotees. And if we are speaking Harikatha, then the purport is also warning us to be responsible. There's responsible hearing and responsible speaking. The hearer of Harikatha has a responsibility. If he wants to get the fullest benefit, he should be surrendered, heartily surrendered to the speaker. And that's not easy. There has to be some relationship with the speaker and some submission. Then if one is surrendered to the speaker, whatever devotional treasures are in the heart of that speaker will flow into the heart of the hearer, the listener. Even the most advanced speaker of Harikatha, if one goes there with his heart in his hand and with his mind chastened by submission and with a sincere effort to collect something and for one's improvement by hearing from this elevated Vaishnava, then we will go away enriched by hearing that Harikatha. We will go away encouraged, as I said, enlightened and satisfied. This is a result of hearing Harikatha when we approach with responsible hearing. And responsible speaking means that the speaker is serving the order of his guru and serving his own inspiration. The super soul inspires one to speak about Krishna. And that service, one speaks about Krishna. But if he tries to enjoy it, the results that may come. Like we often say, someone says, oh, you gave a good class, or people say like this to different devotees. Then the devotee will say, he'll glorify his spiritual master. He'll say, well, all glories to whoever is spiritual master, is all glories to my Gurudev. But they're saying it and they're feeling it. So we should always feel that everything is by the mercy of the Guru. So we'll continue there tomorrow in Bhajan Rahasyam. There's one more verse about Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving some more indication of how to develop bhava. Next verse, verse 15 actually. Any questions? Everything goes by inspiration. The whole principle is sajati and snigda, that someone is in sajati, in the same mood of devotion. He's a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He's in the same mood of devotion which we're inspired to attain and follow. Brajaloka Anusarata. If we become inspired to follow particular residents of Vrindavan, then we want to follow living representatives that are in that same bhav or mood. That's swajati. Same bhav, same mood. And they may be diksha, shiksha, guru, whomever they are. Then we hear from them. Whoever's giving, we have this term, we have Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, Bhajan Shiksha Guru. But they're all guardians and they're all coordinated and working together to bring out the same result. All gurus are one representation of Krishna's divine mercy. So if one becomes more prominent, that's your choice, that's the arrangement of the Lord. You just accept that as the Lord's arrangement, that this particular Shiksha Guru, Bhajan Shiksha Guru, he is nourishing me more, he is helping me more. Everyone's helping. All gurus are respected, all gurus are served, all gurus are honored. But one may be the prime focus of one's bhajan at a particular time of life. But not that that one becomes lower position. Gurus are always held in high regard. So we see in the history, in our tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that often the Shiksha Guru appeared to be much more prominent in the life of any given disciple. Look at Raghunath Das Goswami. And Diksha Guru is Yadanandan. And then he took Shiksha from Swarup Damodar Goswami and some brief Shiksha from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the full fruition of his manifest destiny in Prayojan Tattva or Manjari Bhav came at Govardhan and Radhakund at the feet of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. So all these are his gurus. Yadanandan is his guru, Swarup Damodar is his guru, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is his guru. But ultimately, the guru that gave the perfection, the entrance into the Manjari Bhav and the whole development of Rasa Tattva in its fullest measure was the Rasa Tattva, Rasacharya, Sri Rupa Goswami Pad. So this can, as 500 years ago it was like this, then it can be like this today also. This is the... because the heart is searching. The search for God is the search of the heart. The heart is empty. God is there, but we can't find him, so we search for him. And the guru simply points to the direction of the heart. He helps us connect with the guru in the heart. Chaitya Guru is the ever-living guru in the heart. Chaitya Guru, living guru. Guru is always there. But we can't hear the inner guru, at least in our lower, in our neophyte condition. So then he manifests in various forms. If one guru, we should be considered greatly fortunate to be under the shelter of any qualified guru, be he Diksha or Shiksha Guru. And the guru that brings our heart's fulfillment, the guru that brings the greatest fulfillment of the heart and greatest illumination in the heart, he will naturally become most prominent. Even they have in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they have a term called Sadguru. And different acharyas define this in different ways. Sometimes Sadguru is defined as Diksha Guru. Sometimes Sadguru is defined as a guru that introduces you to your Siddhadeha, your Sarup. Because that guru, you will serve in your manasik puja. You will serve that Sadguru in your manasik puja and Siddhadeya. Seva, Sadakarupena, Siddharupena, Chatrahi. And your Siddharup. And then you'll leave this world, go to Vrindavan, and Goloka Vrindavan, and Boma Vrindavan. And then you'll meet that guru, then you'll again serve. So this is the ultimate, you could say, the ultimate final prominent guru is the Sadguru who you serve side by side in the Nitya Dham, spiritual world. That's one definition. But all these manifestations of guru are all manifestations of Krishna's mercy. They're all Krishna. They're actually Krishna's mercy. Krishna in various forms coming to satisfy our heart, to direct our heart, to enlighten our heart, and to bring us to the perfection of life, which is love of God, loving service of the Lord, and one of the Stayi Bhavs. Narhari Sakar and Krishna Bhajan Amrita, he gives some guidance. He explains how to harmonize Shiksha and Diksha Gurus. There should be some synthesis to some extent. But oftentimes, the Shiksha Guru may be far, far superior, much more advanced than the Diksha Guru. Because we have a certain adhikar, and we meet the Diksha Guru. But then as we, under his shelter, we do bhajan, nam bhajan and smaran, lila smaran. And then our adhikar increases. And then our horizon increases. And then we have more adhikar. We're kanishta adhikar. And then we become madhyam adhikar. And as our eligibility, as our faith increases, our eligibility for higher association also increases. So then we meet higher caliber Vaishnavas. It's all like a continuation. It's a continuum of the same flow of mercy. Sridhar Dev Goswami used to say, our guardians are not blind. That's a very nice phrase. The guardians, like our guardians. Our guardians means the mentors, the parampara, our guru parampara. They're not blind. They're very much alive. and very much seeing. Om Tad Vishnu Param Param Sada Pashyanti Suryo Jujiva Chakshur Atatam. This Chakshur Atatam, there's like eye in the sky, like the sun in the sky. They're watching over us. Rupa Goswami is seeing us. Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhakti Santa Saraswati, Bhakti Nath Thakur, Gaurakishore, Srila Prabhupada, our Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, they're all guardians. They're all watching us. And they're all bringing us to the right platform. Our guardians are not blind. So with this faith, we have Shraddha, or faith and sadhu. Shastriya, Shraddha, faith and Shastra, and Guru Shraddha. That Krishna is adjusting everything. Now I'm with this Guru, and I'm receiving these teachings. And by his teachings, I've come up. Now Krishna's arranged me to be under the shelter of this Guru, and I'm going up. This is all the benevolence of the Lord. It's not that we say, I have to stay here. It's like a hierarchy. Everywhere there's hierarchy. There's not a solid plane. There's always hierarchy. And like Brihad Bhagavatamrita, hierarchies of dham. There's different dhams. Vishnuloka, Yodhyalok. And then there's Dwarka, then there's Mathura, then there's Vrindavan. Hierarchy of devotees, Shanta Bhaktas, Gyan Mishra Bhaktas, Karma Mishra Bhaktas, like this. And then Madhurya Bhaktas, and then Gopis, and then Chandravali's party, and Radharani's party, like this. All hierarchy. So Guru is an unlimited tattva, unlimited hierarchy. Elimination and acceptance. To go forward, it's always a process. Elimination and acceptance. So Krishna gives the intelligence in the heart how to choose. You hear, you examine, and you listen to your heart's confirmation. You hear the Harikata, you examine the achar and behavior, and then you measure the resonance. You measure the resonance of that vibration with your own vibration. Does your heart give confirmation? Is your heart saying yes? Here is solid foundation. Here is solid connection. Here is solid truth. I want to invest here. Good stock, good company. I'll invest over here. His heart is also there. And I learned this from my own well-wishers and guardians. Don't discount the heart's confirmation, the inner voice. Of course, sometimes we get misguided by the inner voice because the inner voice mixes with the mind. But the inner voice is also an important factor, the heart factor. That's why Rupa Goswami is mentioning it. Right in Bhakti Rasamrita, he says snigda. Snigda means sneha. Sneha means heart, affection. The heart quotient. So jati, that's a measurement. Jati. Jati is a measurement. Sajatiya. Sajatiya snigda. Sajati, you measure. Kshatriya, Brahman, this is sajati. Family, gotra. Is he nimbark? Is he nimbarkas? Nimbark sadhana? Nimbark sadhya. Is he madhva? Madhva sadhana, madhva sadhya. And madhva sampradaya, if you want to attain perfection, you have to be a sannyasi. You have to take so many births, finally you're born a Brahman, then you can take sannyas. And as a sannyasi, you can go to Vaikuntha. If you're not a sannyasi, you can't. That's madhva sampradaya. But it's not like that here. And Gaudiya sampradaya. So Gaudiya sampradaya, particular sadhana, particular sadhya. Right? Ramya kachidupasana brajabudu bir. Sakalpita. This is our Ramya Upasana. The Ramya Upasana is Brajabadu, the worship of the Braja Gopis, Braja Bhakti, Gopika Bhakti, Gopika Prem. This is our Upasana of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So we have our Gaudiya Sarana, our Gaudiya Sadhya, Prem of Marta Mahan, Braja Prem. So then these are all measures. So Sajati means you find some sadhu. Is he Gaudiya? Is he teaching this Sadhya and this Sarana? Is he Tattvagyani? Is he Tattvadarshan? Is he Rasika? Is he Bhavuka? These are all measurements. You can measure. You can see to some extent some of these things. And then finally, Snigda. Snigda is the heart resonance. How does the vibration resonate in my heart? Is it friendly? Is it loving? Is it affectionate? Is it positive? Is it enervating? Does it lift me up? Because you may line up 10 seders. There's many, many advanced devotees. And I've associated with many advanced devotees. And I go, and some of them, Sajati, everything checks out. Sajati, ton, 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 ton. All the checks are there, very positive. Very perfect person to associate with. Then I check out the snigdas, affection aspect. And then they have so much affection, but somehow we don't vibrate. Somehow the vibration, when they speak, it doesn't touch my heart properly. When I go to someone else, hear some other person seemingly on the same level, then my heart is jumping. My heart is vibrating. So this is the heart's confirmation. I think everyone, this is one of the factors when we approach Guru to begin with, when we take Diksha, when we, Guru Pada Shraya, when we surrender to Guru, we check and we examine, we read the qualifications of Shastra Vichar and consideration. Then there's Sangha. Then there's Sangam and meeting and observing. And Hari Bhakti Vilas says you should be with a Guru for at least 3 years. Minimum one. Recommended 3 years living, serving. Samitpani Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam. Samitpani Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam. He's Brahmanishtam and you're Samitpani. And you're Pani. In your hands you get every day collecting firewood, doing humble service. And he's bringing you to Nishta by his Harikata. And you're seeing that. Taviti pranipatena paripashnena sevya. And Guru is a vast topic. But it's not all mental. Because the whole process is a process of bhakti. Our goal is not gyan, our goal is bhakti. So bhakti is a position of the heart, a heart's position, not the mind. The mind has to retire at a certain point. Faith is a product of heart. As it said, how is it described by Sridhar Maharaj, he said that Shraddha is the halo of Radharani. It's Radharani's Jyoti. Radharani's Jyoti is Shraddha, faith. So Radharani is Prem, her form is nothing but Prem Sarup. There's no mind there. There's no Jnani there. There's no mind there. Every aspect of Radharani's form is nothing but Mahabhav. Her hair is Mahabhav. Her eyebrows are Mahabhav. Her eyelashes are Mahabhav. It's not like she's mental. Radharani doesn't get mental. Oh, is this my guru? Is that my guru? Is this my Krishna? Is that my Krishna? She's only operating from prem, bhav. So this is one aspect. It's a little late now. Thank you. Hare Krishna.